This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
It is WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. I'm just bad at my job. And I'm Lou Orlando, joined by, man, you can't dream up a better crew than this, Jack Warner, Nick Palmer. So Jack and I, New York Rangers beat reporters. Nick, our Islanders beat reporter,
hey,
potentially joined by a special guest at some point. That's not official or confirmed yet, but there's potential. And Nick's pants are off. So,
dude,
oh, hey,
it's so funny you chose to say that because I was for the first time going to say, wow, how nice of Nick to wear pants today.
Oh,
but
you know, he's
it
actually,
sounds like they're back off.
He does have some lovely pants on in reality.
I guess the people at Yankee Stadium later are missing out that you're wearing. You're wearing pants. I don't know why. Like they're gonna miss out.
I'm not paying attention to you guys. I'm watching a bear eat a pear.
That's actually really cute.
Yeah, because you guys are being mean. But hey, it's
How
great
to
be
mean?
Here. It's great to be here, you guys.
You brought us. If you can hear the crumbling of this paper,
I'm sure they can.
Nick brought us a Carolina Hurricanes / New York Islanders two-sided line chart from UBS Arena. It is very crumbled up, which I can only assume was crumbled up in a fit of hyperventilating after a frustrating series for the New York Islanders.
That's good. That's good, Jack.
But you're rejoicing today, aren't you?
I am rejoicing today. I've had a great morning. Love that the Hurricanes lost last night.
I mean, so that's right. Amidst all of this discussion is the fact that the Rangers are going to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
how
about that?
So I guess
how about
we should
that?
Say that on air.
Yes.
Shout out to the Rangers.
The Rangers won. But, I had a great morning. I had a subway car all to myself.
Wow.
Which is pretty rare.
That's
to
phenomenal.
Happen. So that was Scottie Scheffler.
Oh,
I
my
woke
God.
Up to that news.
Lou, did you hear about that?
The golfer?
I didn't.
The number one golfer in the world got arrested in Louisville.
God at 5:30 in the morning.
At 5:30 in the morning, and then has a mugshot in an orange jumpsuit, and is already out and made it back to Valhalla for his 10 o'clock tee time.
That's so tough.
I also woke up with sore ankles for the first time in my life. Like I didn't even know you had muscles. There.
I mean, you're carrying all that.
Old.
I mean, I'm surprised because you're not carrying all that weight in pants. So I don't know what like.
I think it was box jumps. I don't know.
Oh, okay,
that'll get you,
ladies. He goes to the gym.
No, well, yes, but. Anyway, let's talk about the Rangers.
Let's talk about the Rangers because I saw this from ESPN last night, and I think it's a cool way to open this up before we get into the Chris Kreider of it all.
Yep.
The New York Rangers are the first team to advance to the conference finals as the President's Trophy winners since 2015. And who is that team? That would be the 2015 New York Rangers. So that's pretty cool stuff. The President's Trophy curse is not real.
So wait, there hasn't been a President's Trophy Eastern Conference Final team since that
conference
team.
Finals. Period.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And despite the Rangers' best efforts to make me believe that the President's Trophy curse might be real with the way they played the last two games, and honestly, the first two periods of Game 6, they tough it out. Let's get right into Chris Kreider because we wouldn't be here without Chris Kreider. Not just a hat trick in the third period with the Rangers trailing 3-1, a natural hat trick, and this is another tweet that I bookmarked. He is the first player in Stanley Cup playoffs history to have a third period natural hat trick to turn a two-goal deficit into a lead.
Wow.
That's
all
crazy.
By himself. He single-handedly might be a little too strong, but he wills the Rangers to a very tough series win over the Hurricanes in a game that, until very late, was looking like Ranger fans were going to be in distress and panic and chaos because the Canes caused chaos.
Well, that's the thing. Well, first of all, that was that was fantastic.
Oh, good one. Good one.
But no, the one thing that kind of blew me away about this series was I understand that the Rangers are the you know reigning President's Trophy winner. I understand that they're a cup favorite. But the Carolina Hurricanes disrespect was crazy. I mean, it really did feel like, I understand a 3-0 lead is pretty damning. A 3-0, it's pretty much a death sentence in most cases. But except for that one Islanders team.
Unless you're the 1975 Islanders,
yeah, exactly.
Or the 2014 Los Angeles Kings.
Yep. Anyway, it just felt like people were so shocked to see the Hurricanes still have fight in the series and take two in a row. Even when I was at the Garden after Game 5, somebody asked a question to Trocheck that he kind of like, he gave, I wouldn't call it a snippy reply, but he gave a very straightforward reply of, guys, this was the same team that finished 3 points behind us in the Metro this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why you guys make this seem like it's like a fluke. Like, it's you knew this was a team that was going to come out there and fight. The one thing that I do think is really cool was leading up to the game last night, I saw a tweet from Sean Avery that was about, he was just, it was more him because he's kind of a Rangers guy. It was him talking about the upcoming game, and he was kind of calming people down. He was talking about how people are acting like the season's over and how like it wasn't easy for them in 94 and it shouldn't be easy for them this year. And one of the things that he said that was actually really cool because it ended up happening was he said, somebody's going to have a big game. He said, somebody, it's going to take one person to have a big game. They're one player having a big game away from sealing the series, and look who the hell it was. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And watching this game, you're right, Lou, looked like the Rangers were dead in the water for two periods.
Yeah.
Like, they were getting serious. I think it was maybe the game where the Rangers were getting outplayed the hardest. They couldn't generate anything.
Game five was tough.
Game five was really brutal. That's also true. But Igor had a couple massive saves in this game tonight. So, shout out him. That Martinuk stop at the goal line was pretty great.
That killed a piece of my soul.
Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like that. And again,
Jack can attest to like my live reaction to that. Because I,
well,
in
we
live
all started
time,
screaming.
I thought it scored because, again, you see the puck trickle towards the goal line. You see the ref emphatically say no. We're freaking out. And then you see the replay. And Jordan Martinuk, who dove probably 3 seconds too early, that ended up really helping him out because he just kind of glides to the goal line, knocks away at the last second, and that is Rangers are down. How much are we down? Are we down two at that point?
It's either,
or do we get
it's
one
either,
back?
It's either 2-1 or 3-1.
You're down 2-1 at
We're
that
down
point.
2-1.
But I just still remember after it happened saying at least two or three times, they got to challenge that, and I'm glad they didn't challenge that because that would have been a much unneeded penalty kill they would have had to go on, because that puck did not cross the line. That was one of the craziest saves I've ever seen. That was ridiculous.
I mean, Martinuk had a heck of a game.
He had a heck of a series, honestly.
Yes, the Canes played a great first two periods.
Outshot the Rangers 10-3 in the first period.
I mean, that first, again, a lot of the issues that we saw in games 4 and 5 for the Rangers, I think especially in game 5, but like the lack of juice, the lack of defensive structure, that first Nechitz goal.
Oh, my God.
The combination of Fox chasing behind the net, followed by Lindgren just taking the bump from Nechitz and not being able to get back, leaving a wide-open Nechitz. He scores. Jarvis scores at the tail end of their power play, which, if you remember, started out as a Rangers power play. Chris Kreider ends up being the hero, takes a bad cross-checking penalty.
Yeah.
And the Canes show more urgency than the Rangers did in their power play. Trocheck gets that tip in to make it 2-1. Yep. So just when you feel like, all right, maybe the Rangers have started something here, you get that big breakout by the Canes that ends with the Aho goal. And again, that is a defensive lapse. Miller pinching to try to be aggressive. VC not fast enough to get back. So a lot of the issues that you had saw in the last two games, in the first two periods, I wasn't feeling good going into the third period. I texted my dad and said, we're not winning this game.
Well, yeah, they dug themselves a hole that only a crazy natural hat trick by one player could have gotten themselves out of. I mean, you heard me say before, because I threw a couple bucks on the game live while it was going on. I was like, well, that's $2 I'm never getting back. I really did not think that was a game that was going to end up in the Rangers' favor, but then in walked Christopher Horse Kreider.
The meat market. I think it's funny to see the dichotomy of Rangers Twitter from the end of the second period, blow it up, trade Mika, this team can't win, to the end of the game when they win, this team is special, it's like 94. And that's to be expected. I wonder how much credence there is to the concerns that we saw, particularly in games 5 and even stretches of this game, because I chalked up the game 4 loss to, hey, Carolina's really good. It's honestly surprising that the Rangers went up 3-0 in this series.
Right.
Carolina was right in each of those first three games. You had to think they were taking one, especially at home.
Right.
But to see them come out so flat in game five, sit back in that trap and get completely outplayed. And then I thought even in game six here, really don't feel them turn the urgency on until they're down 2-0, which is, hey, boys, you've lost two straight. You're in danger of taking this to a game seven, and we all know, like, anything can happen in a game seven. I have to be honest. I don't know how high my confidence level would have been even going back to the Garden when you think about the Canes with all the momentum of potentially three straight wins. So the Rangers avoid that nightmare scenario, but you do go into the Eastern Conference Finals either playing Florida or Boston, and I think, you know, with Florida a 3-2 lead, and I mean, we'll talk about them a little bit later, Florida to me is the second, is the other best team in the East, 100%. And I put them right on the par of the New York Rangers. To me, that's a team that you, not to knock the Canes, because I think they're very good, but I think Florida would take advantage of those lapses and wouldn't let you back into a game the way Carolina did in game six.
But I do think Carolina is a team that I guess could prepare you a bit for Florida, because they're both those kind of teams that are not at all conservative in getting
they're both aggressive, they're both fast.
They're both a shot in volume team. They're not like the Rangers. The Rangers, who tend to want to pick and choose their looks a little more and try to be more cute with it and move the puck a lot more. They're both teams that just spray the net whenever they get the chance. So I do think it's like it works out well that they get a team like the Canes before possibly having to play the Panthers. But I don't think that – I do think that you're completely right in that there are some things that they got away with against the Canes. Sometimes didn't even always get away with that will not at all fly against a team like the Panthers.
Even if it's Boston, right? Like you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, like I think it doesn't matter who the team is. You've both won two playoff series. Well, so you've both done enough to get one step away from the Stanley Cup. So that's when everything starts to get under the microscope a little bit.
And if you're facing Boston, that means you just came back from 3-1. So that's like another crazy thing.
That's a team that'd be feeling themselves.
So exactly. And I obviously don't want to jinx them for personal reasons. There's not a hotter goaltender on the planet right now than Jeremy Swayman. So it's like,
that's true.
You know, anything can happen when you get to that, you know, stage of the playoffs. But I do think that right now as it stands, and until this, you know, I'm proven otherwise by them making the comeback in the series, I do think the team to be feared more of in that pair is Florida.
But I think the extra couple days of rest, even though it's not crazy and maybe you blew a chance to have a week of rest, it's going to pay dividend. It should
Absolutely.
Pay dividends.
It should.
I don't know the severity of Adam Fox's knee injury, but I think it's clear that he's playing through something.
Yeah.
I think he's probably not going to get back to 100. No one's going to get back to 100%. It's playoffs. You've already been beaten down and
But we were talking broken. About it. We were talking about it last night. No game seven means that's one less. Even if they win the game, even if they win the series in seven, that is one less night of getting your brains beat in for 60 minutes. That's one night that you get to rest. And also, if you're Rangers faithful or even you're a Ranger player, you're hoping this Boston Florida series goes seven games, regardless of who wins, because if it just buys you that extra time, wear them out. Because that was the one thing before these Eastern Conference series started to get more competitive. Once, you know, before Carolina started throwing some wins in there, before, you know, and even in the first round where you had the Rangers sweeping and things like that, I kind of had this mindset of that, like, this year bodes really well for the East, because it felt like all of the Western Conference series were absolute bloodbaths and you were seeing, you know, back and forth wins throughout series. But now you're starting to, the closer that we get and the teams are getting better, obviously, you're starting to see more of a marathon in each series than you did in that opening round. So I think any leg up you have and just how long you've been able to be resting is just absolutely huge, even if it's the difference of a day or two.
Yeah, and this was an absolute marathon for, I think, the first line of the Carolina Hurricanes, who really felt like they were bashing their head against the wall, because but apart from game five, where there was a lot of depth showing from Carolina.
Jordan Staal going back to his youth.
Exactly. Other than that, the top line was really the most and only effective thing for the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, they combined for 6 goals. Mm-hmm. They were always dangerous whenever they stepped onto the ice, but I'm glad you talked about the Rangers picking and choosing their shots. They also picked and chose their moments to really step up. And I think guys like Zibanejad, Panarin especially, he's not we were worried that, you know, playoff Panarin, what's that going to be like? There were moments in this series where he did look invisible on the ice, but there were also moments when he really stepped up. Same thing with Kreider, same thing with Zibanejad, same thing with Trocheck, and Lof even. So
yeah. Honestly, it's maybe it gets swept under the rug with how big Kreider's game is on last night. Lafreniere, to me, had one of the biggest series for the Rangers. When
you look at
the goals that he sniped throughout, even like, it probably will get forgotten in Game 4. Lafreniere's game-tying goal in Game 4 was sick.
Insane.
And man, he, like, it's so crazy to think about where the Lafreniere discussion was at the beginning of the season. We keep talking about it. He keeps impressing in the playoffs. He's been one of their most reliable goal scorers at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
There was that stretch when the Rangers' power play looked like it was in a rough spot that Laviolette started giving more time to power play two. The best guy in power play two all year long continues to be Alexi Lafreniere in the playoffs.
I mean, it's crazy to me that we were having conversations in preseason about, like, how is this year going to bode for Alexi Lafreniere? We were talking about it the other day, actually, when we were...
He had an awful
reminiscing
preseason.
When we were reminiscing to the season
preview. One of
the worst
preseasons
ever. One of the worst preseasons I think we've ever seen, and you would never know by the season that we've gotten from him to this point.
I feel like we haven't talked enough about Chris Kreider, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of tweets that said that this game just put his number in the rafters. To me, he's the one guy on this team that even if this core doesn't win a cup, that his number was getting retired. I do think that game helps. There are three Rangers in this franchise's history that have scored three goals in one period in a playoff, and it's Gretzky, Messier, and now Kreider.
I thought he already had a banner confirmed to this point, but that just sealed the deal. I mean, first of all, my favorite thing, now that I've had some time to digest that game and everything that happened, I think my favorite part, even though there are several, I think my overall favorite part about what Kreider did in that game last night is all three of those goals in that hat trick were your quintessential Chris Kreider goals. They were up close. They were not necessarily visually appealing. Sometimes they're kind of weird looking. They're kind of ugly. And it's just him doing what he does best. It's him being a pest to the other team.
It's
the one where he stuffs through the skate.
The first stuffing on the side, Kreider deflection, obviously, and then the wraparound jam.
Yeah, so it's like everything was just gritty up close and freaking weird.
On brand.
And it's just, you wouldn't have it any other way with Kreider. That's exactly what he does.
I think Trocheck was immensely helpful, especially in that third period. The way he set up Panarin for that shot on goal. I think, you know, did you see that thing post-game where...
Trocheck answered for Kreider. Kreider was asked whether or not he said he was going to get one in the third, and he kind of deflected because he's shy and cute and humble.
Yeah.
And so Trocheck stepped in and said, yeah, Kreider said he was going to get one. And Trocheck said, and my response was, I hope so.
I was thinking of Kreider came into Trocheck's post game and did a little one of these, which, I mean, the chemistry on this team is clearly working. They all support each other. And I think, like you mentioned, they are different than the other teams in that they are more selective and they like to pass the puck a lot. But the problem is sometimes it doesn't work, like we saw especially in Game 5.
On the power play
in the neutral zone. Sometimes it doesn't, but this team is so talented that it will work more than not. And even against the really aggressive teams like Florida, I think it still has a good chance of working.
Now, I think one of the things that you're looking at is, can this extra rest get Filip Hedl back in the rotation? Because the big shift that Laviolette made was phasing Rempe out of this lineup. I know we saw him in Game 5. He didn't play Game 4. Mm-hmm. He played in Game 3 in that double overtime game and didn't log a second after the second period. So obviously that was something that we had talked about, especially coming from the Capitals series, not a guy that you trust in late-game situations come playoff time. The Rangers say that the Filip Hedl injury has nothing to do with the concussion. It's still a really hazy and gray situation where anything that Filip Hedl deals with physically could always be connected neurologically to what had happened, the rumored concussion that we at least think he suffered one, potentially two. And it's a guy that a few months ago was talking about he might not be able to ever play hockey at this level again. So obviously you have to be very careful with the way that you proceed with Filip Hedl. At the same time, every Ranger fan would leap for get Filip Hedl into this lineup over Johnny Brodzinski.
Yeah, I mean, well, even in the one game, because what, he played game three, game four? Game three.
Game three, yes.
Game three, yes. He skated well. He had a really good chance. He made that one move, heading crash in the net. He made this weird like move through his legs, and then while he was crashing the net, and had a really good look. I thought he looked good in the one game he was in. Again, it's gonna come down to like his health. I know that's just such a weird conversation to have, because like usually when you're this late in the season, that's not a conversation that you're necessarily having. Like, I get people are taxed, but this isn't even a taxation issue. This is a he's been out for the majority of the year because of sufficient head injury conversation. So I'm tossed up between, you know, the ability to have Hedl in over Brodzinski. You also led in with Matt Rempe. I'm curious to see against a team.
I don't think he plays against Florida, because I think it's a similar situation to Carolina, that they're too fast.
No,
but they're a little more physical. But they're gritty and tough.
That's what I was going to say, is I wouldn't necessarily mark it off of them playing against Florida, because as you're seeing in this series against Boston, Florida is chippy. They sometimes like to punch people in the head and injure them and take them out of games. And sometimes they like to cross-check people under their own goalie. So, you know, you got all – I'm just kidding.
You're not kidding. Don't like him.
But, no, my point being is, do I think that you are taking a serious gamble by putting young Matt Rempe in a game like that? Yes, but do I think that there's a case to be made for him, even if it's game one, game two, just to make a statement early because you need someone that can go out there and bash some brains? I also could see that.
We are – joined now by the special guest we teased earlier. It's our resident Carolina Hurricanes fan, Maddie DeBonte. An hour away from her big MC event, she has carved out some time to share a somber moment with us.
Nick, do you want to give her a present?
Do you want to say any words before we cue the music, or do you just want to dive right in?
What is this gift that you're going to give
this
me?
This is a list of... if you want to do the funeral and point out some people, these are all the Hurricanes that are
fresh from UBS Arena, nice and crumbled from Nick's backpack.
Don't you worry, Nick. I actually have a script prepared, which I wrote this morning while I was decrepit in bed, thinking I wasn't even going to be here this morning because my tummy really hurt.
Well, wait, you thought you weren't going to be here this morning, as in just physically being here, or like that you would like alive because of the Canes losing?
All the above.
Okay.
Well, I think without further ado, Lydia, let's cue the music.
Thank you, Lydia.
There's music.
You know, we've been hearing all this stuff about 1994 this, 1994 that, but I want to take you back to a certain time in 2010. It's my 10th birthday, and the Carolina Hurricanes are playing at the RBC Arena against the Atlanta Thrashers. I'm giddy and filled with excitement to see my favorite hockey team play. And they didn't win. They didn't win any time on my birthday. Flash forward to 2024. I'm 2 days from my college graduation. I wasn't granted the high school graduation because of COVID, so I'm really looking forward to this. And what did I get? The worst of the three Stahl brothers as captain. And a ship akin to the Titanic. I didn't even finish this next bit, but I just wrote a raging racist, so I can only assume what I was writing that about.
Oh,
Tony.
Where was my 2006 Carolina Hurricanes? Where was Justin Williams, Ray Whitney, Mike Commodore, Cam Ward?
Cam Ward?
Someone from the 2006 Hurricanes actually was here this season, former captain Rod Brind'Amour. I love how Rod laughs every time he answers a question. It's like he is in on a joke that we just don't get yet, and there's a bigger plan. Well, Rod, unfortunately, the joke is on you this season. I will be the first one to say the Carolina Hurricanes have been eliminated from Stanley Cup potential to the New York Rangers. At the end of the day, I just want to say this one last thing. If Burns had been on the ice during that shorthanded goal in Game 3, I think this would have been an entirely different series. that's where I rest.
Thank
my
you,
case.
Michael Bomonti, for that last bit of information. All right.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. I would say it. Actually, I would say it's been a pleasure, but it hasn't been. also, by the way, I'm going to take this time, this platform, to say that I was not announced as Lady of the Manor. I was not funny enough to be Lady of the Manor, so I hope this was at least mildly funny.
It was pretty funny.
Thanks, guys.
Good boy, babe.
I just like the
worst of the stoppers.
Well, no, great. Well, I know, but just the emotional, you know, sentiment and speech over the backtrack that sounds like a Cialis commercial is just, it's just
I
phenomenal.
Could have thrown in a Cialis, like, talk to your doctor before choosing Cialis. Like, you should have told me that. I would have written that.
If Carolina is eliminated from Stanley Cup contention for longer than 3 hours, please consult your doctor.
It's time to go to the doctor. Let's keep you here for a few minutes. Keep you know, soaking in the misery. Are you? You mentioned Rod Brind'Amour. We entered this series with rumors that contract negotiations the Hurricanes had withdrawn an offer to him. Obviously, he's a guy that in the NHL sphere is considered one of the best coaches in the league. Has really struggled to make it past the first, second round, reached the conference finals a couple times, got swept.
They did not get swept this year,
but they did lose in six games in the second round to a good Rangers team. Are you worried that this is the end of the road for Rod Brind'Amour?
Am I worried? No. Am I glad? Yes.
Oh.
Like, listen, I know I talked about 2006 in this speech really lovingly. But it's not 2006 anymore.
It's not.
That is, by definition, 2024 is not 2006.
It's just like, just get rid of them at this point. We're not getting anywhere. Like, we're going to flop every single year. I mean, I'm glad that, Nick, we got to experience flops this season together in a way.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm already over it. That was like a long time ago.
You know? Well, I know, but you seemed really animated last night when my team lost.
I just said, hey, Maddie, in the chat.
No, but then you called me and then said to your friend, hey, be mean to her. Her team just lost.
That is also true.
That is something that happened.
I think.
Do you have like a problem with me?
I have a problem with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Ma'am, is he bothering you?
You would.
I would. I'd step in.
All right. I'm sorry. And we're now in the same boat.
Can I just say?
A Titanic level boat.
A Titanic level boat, but at least my head coach isn't getting fired.
Rod Brind'Amour brought.
Hot.
Yeah.
What's going on with that hair thing, by the way?
Woke up this morning.
No, I'm talking about Rod Brind'Amour.
I know.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he's got like that weird little, like, he's got that little like, gray patch in the front of his hair.
It's like he looks like a little patch, but he looks like a little penguin.
But it looks like some backstory. It looks like some backstory from like a novel. Like he definitely was like the like kind of the boy who lived type thing, like a Harry Potter type deal, where he definitely got like struck by lightning.
He was.
And, like,
you could say that 2006 was like a Voldemort-esque scenario,
but
it's never been the same.
But Rod Brind'Amour brought Jack Warner a moment on TV before he brought the Carolina Hurricanes a Stanley Cup. The first time I ever got on TV was asking Rod Brind'Amour a question.
Come on.
What was
man.
The question?
I was asking him about Freddie Anderson because he had just knocked the New York Islanders out of the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs.
Wow.
Paul Stastny owns your team, owns your poverty franchise.
Really makes you think.
He didn't show up in this series, though, Freddie.
I thought you were going to say Paul Stastny. I'm like, he's retired.
Like, let's be very real. Well, I don't think the Rangers earned that first goal. It was because Freddie was out of position.
The Trocheck deflection?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think you could argue the Kreider one, too.
No, I'm talking about the Kreider one.
Okay.
I'm talking about the one where Freddie... Like,
yeah, that's.
Fell
I mean,
down
he just like
collapsed.
Tried to reset his skate at the worst possible time.
But that was big for you guys. So,
I mean, yeah, I thought he played well in the first two games because then they turned to Kochetkov in game three. I think he also played well. Like, Anderson's first three games were great. Didn't unfortunately lost in a tough battle of luck, and then kind of fell off towards the end there. In terms of this team, it could look very different next year. Tara Vinen, unrestricted free agent, Martinuk.
Gensel's
the big one. I think Gensel comes out. My message to the Hurricanes would be, this is the first year that they actually went all out and tried to trade for a goal scorer and get one.
Yeah.
Gensel's awesome in this series, man.
I hate
I don't
Chris
know.
Kreider, by the way. I just want
You and Peter Bamonte.
I just want you to know.
Okay.
Sorry, I had this, to get that out there.
I don't think this should end the show. End the show.
This, no, I just, it's just funny sitting over here. If you want to see, this was pre-orchestrated.
It's
No, yeah. That was smart.
It was a Orlando hate crime.
Oh. Wow, that's nice.
So I texted Maddie sitting right next to her. I mean, interrupt him. Just say it.
I was just going to say that they should bring back Gensel because I think that's the type of player that they need if they're actually going to win playoff hockey.
Yep.
At the same time, I understand you can't run the same core back because that's what you've been doing the last 6 years. And the furthest you've gotten is the conference finals twice. You have to think at least one of Chatfield, Pessy, and Shea isn't coming back. You hope they don't bring D'Angelo back. I mean, that's the reason they lost this. Any team that has Tony D'Angelo is not making the Stanley Cup.
Doesn't deserve to make the Stanley Cup. He's a racist. He's a scumbag.
They're making a watch list, though.
Wow. So, I don't know where this team goes from here. I think there's a chance it looks very, very different next year, and that's probably okay because I don't think that you can just run this back. At the same time, all the sentiments that Rod said last year I feel are more applicable this year, where the first three games are decided by one goal, but the big thing you're going to look back on is 2-for-21 in the power play.
It's ridiculous.
And if only Brett Burns was... if only they'd kept Burns instead of switching to D'Angelo, things would be different.
I just don't know what happened there. It was just a very poor, poor call. Yeah, the shorthanded goals were, like, really mean.
That was
awesome.
Wow.
Truba scored.
Truba's shorthanded goal is probably the worst thing I've ever seen happen to
be there public,
team.
Like, in public while that happened, too. Like, Nick, let me paint the scene for you.
I was there. Oh, you're done. Oh, this is when. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you weren't.
You weren't. Why would you say
that? Shut up.
I think that peaked, so maybe lowered a little bit.
Sorry.
Please. I was going to say that I was in public when it happened, and I was the only person in a little red, very, very sweet Carolina Hurricanes hat, and nobody really liked that. Somebody said a couple of expletives behind me.
Really?
Yeah. It was really hostile and
that's
dangerous.
Rude.
It was like being like the beaches of Normandy.
Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
They probably thought you were related to Tony D'Angelo.
I mean, honestly.
No.
No. Because, I don't think any of the other Canes players warrant.
Is he Asian?
He's not.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
No one's going to get that.
I got it. It was funny.
Yeah. So, the Hurricanes season's over.
Yeah.
Any final words, Maddie?
See you in October, Maddie.
Can't wait to
try it again. Are you rooting against the Rangers now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't think I'm going to watch any more hockey.
Do you want your boyfriend to be, happy?
You know,
moderately?
5-on-3 hard launch.
I was really, sad yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I woke up and my tummy hurt. And I would like to think that it's because of this.
Okay.
So while your happiness is important.
Brought to you by Laura Orlando.
I just don't think I want to watch anymore. Mm. I won't actively root against you, but when they do lose, I'll send a haha text.
That's
probably
fair.
That's too mean. Just do the haha bubble.
Call the toll free hotline 1-800-CUFF.
I'm actually just gonna text you cry, and that's it.
I'm gonna get.
Oh, I have a shirt to show you.
Oh no.
That was crazy though when they showed the little Hurricanes kid.
Oh my god,
after
he
the
was
game.
Bawling his eyes.
That was me.
He was
me.
Combination with the.
Do you want the shirt? It's a shirt that says Kreider, but the first three letters are Cry in Hurricanes red.
I know.
Oh, that's awesome.
No.
The Cry to New York.
This is what you get for saying yay every time the Hurricanes scored last night.
I was very.
No, Maddie's best last night. No. Maddie's best was when Trocheck got the tip in and they're showing the view from the camera inside the net behind the goalie, and Maddie just goes, "No, please stop." And she was like, "This was more fun when the Carolina Hurricanes just were leading by a lot."
Yeah.
It would be more fun.
It would have been
oh,
more fun.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah, and they weren't.
But they didn't. They lost.
But that kid crying in combination with the cry narrative that the Hurricanes tweeted.
Ironic.
You're kind of that poor kid.
That was me.
That's
that was her.
That
was her, on three,
that
of her
was you.
On three of her birthdays.
Three of my birthdays. That's what it like. Losing to the Atlanta Thrashers.
Hey, Kovalchuk scored. In that game. He did.
WFUV alum Jimmy Sullivan
had one of the best tweets. One of the best tweets. From Ranger, because he works for SNY.
Yeah, from the SNY Rangers Twitter.
What did he say?
Effective immediately, participation in the Stanley Cup playoffs will be restricted to teams outside of North Carolina, South Carolina, and southern parts of Virginia. Rangers in six.
It's a good tweet.
There you go.
All right.
That's not
Bruins.
Maddie, anything you have to add before we let you go?
I had a lot of fun this whole year. Yeah. 5-on-3. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Mm. But it would have been more fun if the Hurricanes won. Yeah.
No. Well, makes you think.
Yeah. Really makes you think.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. But yeah. Mm. So I'm giving up.
Okay. That's okay.
Cry.
Cry. Time to cry.
All I'll say, my parting words to you are, you wouldn't be feeling this much dismay if they had just kept Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah.
If they had just kept Shane Gostisbehere.
You know, I think at the end of the day, and you're going to agree with me on this, Jack,
yes,
this team would have looked really wildly different, and I think they would have swept the Rangers if Rupe Hintz was on the team.
Yeah. And
why wasn't
and
he?
Those should be your last words in 5-on-3. So Maddie Mamonti, we thank you. It's been a pleasure. Ain't she lovely? All right.
You would.
I would.
Yeah, you would.
I think I would. So
thanks.
Yeah. I guess we'll do some non
have fun at Hogwarts
Rangers can stuff.
It's because she's in her gown.
She is in her gown and robes. We don't need to.
1-800 Hobgoblin.
Nice chords, bro.
Yeah, that's my Carolina Hurricanes. Cool.
Are you Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff? I forget what the last one is.
Ravenclaw.
No, I said Ravenclaw.
Gryffindor?
Gryffindor.
Well, I forgot Gryffindor.
How do you forget Gryffindor?
I'm
2 points for Gryffindor.
I'm upset.
I'm upset.
Yeah.
Thank you, Drizzy.
Let's get into the other big story of the NHL. We'll go for
Bruins.
Like 20 more minutes.
Go Bruins!
I was gonna lead with.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Do you want to talk Bruins? I was gonna go Nichushkin, but we can go Bruins.
No, Bruins game 6 tonight in Boston. It's a big one. They've come back. Jeremy Swayman is, you know, fantastic.
Well,
they look better.
Is Marshy out?
Great. Still TBD. Not ruled on yet. No, but I think Matuskin's kind of the bigger story, though.
Well, but I'll say this on the, because I don't think we have to dive too deep into Bruins Panthers right now until the series ends. When you zoom out, I think it's very hard to think about taking 3 in a row from a team like Florida. But then you zoom in and you go, okay, Boston comes back home for Game 6.
Yep.
And then anything can happen Game 7.
Well, the biggest
and that's kind of a similar thing that we'll talk about with the Avs. It's the same kind of thing when we talk about them against why am I blanking?
Dallas.
Against Dallas, where it's like taking 3 against Dallas, very tough, but you take it game by game. You have a home game first, and then you put yourself in a Game 7 situation. That's what Boston has the chance to do here, and I think when you look at it from that lens, it becomes more plausible.
But also, the crazy thing is, like, I understand being I would imagine it's a kind of gut-wrenching experience to be a road team in a Game 7, like just that environment and everything. But the crazy thing is, the biggest question mark of the series is tonight. They've won 2 games in Florida. They haven't won one at the Garden yet. So that's the biggest test, because if you can win in the Garden tonight and, like, you know, with authority, have all that momentum going back to Florida, you've already won 2 games there. Anything could happen Game 7. But I just think, more than anything, while relief shot through me just for the simple fact of my team not having their season ended yet, that game was also extremely frustrating at the same time, because it showed you how evenly they can match up with this Florida team if they had just shown up and had a pulse offensively. They didn't break 20 shots on goal 3 games in a row.
Yep.
Those 3 games in a row they lost, they didn't break 20 once. They had 13 in the first period the other night, and look what happened. They finally showing up. The younger players are showing up. Besides Morgan Geeky, Mason Lorai,
amazing me in this series. He looks fantastic.
McAvoy's has not looked good.
No,
besides
but
that
finally
tuck.
Scored. That's yes. the thing. He didn't have a shot on goal at that. That was game five. He hadn't had a shot on goal yet.
They've been outscored 11-8 with McAvoy on the ice.
Yeah,
and he's been invisible sometimes.
He's had one of the worst series of his life. But again, it comes down to, you know, they've had nights where it was their night and nights where it wasn't their night, nights where they scored first and still lost, you know, whatever. They would not be in this series without Jeremy Swayman. And no. I know that's the sentiment that's being echoed, but mm-hmm. it really is true. They would not be in this series without Jeremy Swayman. And they finally made the right move in managing their goalie tandem. They knew it got to a point. It's bit them too many times. And it didn't even bite them in the Toronto series because Ullmark played fine. They didn't win the game that Ullmark played, I think. Or did they? I forget. Either way, it didn't bite them because Ullmark played fine. But finally, they just chose to play the hand that's hot. And they did have to pull Swayman from one game in this series. But they didn't use that as a reason to keep going with Ullmark. I don't want to hate on Ullmark. You had to go with Swayman in this series. And that save that he made in game five under the 10-second mark where he kind of exits the crease to go make the stop, I audibly screamed in the middle of Clinton Hall. That was unbelievable.
And to your point, Swayman has a higher save percentage than Bobrovsky, and the Bruins are down in the series. So that
crazy.
That just speaks to how well he's playing, not to rain on your parade. But the Panthers have never blown a 3-1 series lead in franchise history.
Oh,
the Bruins have never overcome a 3-1
they
deficit.
They have never. Yeah, they've only
lost. No, they've lost one.
They've lost. Yes, they have. they've lost. The only time they've come back from 3-1s, they've lost in 7 twice.
Yeah.
Which is just so frustrating.
The optics aren't great.
But that's the thing that's crazy, too, is like when we were talking about who we thought would be, if you're a Ranger fan, like who the better opponent would be. From a team standpoint, you would rather play the Bruins. I feel like that.
I do concur, but it's not.
But from a team standpoint, yes. From what's going on the ice, yes. Knowing that there's still five, you know, when you're rating the five men that are going to be attacking Igor, yes. It's a weird scenario though that like the way this series is going right now, you'd rather face Bobrovsky than Swayman.
I agree, Swayman. I think is right up there with Igor in contention for best goalie this postseason.
Yeah.
And as much as I love what Igor's done, I think I honestly might give the nod to Swayman.
Yeah, no, I would too.
I agree. Swayman's on another level.
Big game six tonight. Bruins can force a game seven.
Marchand plays.
It's Georgiev.
Marchand playing would be huge. Georgiev is a good transition into the Colorado Avalanche and the big news that broke a few days ago. Valeri Nichushkin has re-entered the player assistance program for the second time in 2 years. Obviously, there was the situation last year where he was not available for the postseason. And now, after 9 goals in 8 games, he will be suspended for 6 months, will not be eligible to return until the second week of November in the upcoming season.
Yep.
It's not just a big loss on the ice for the Avs. That's a huge blow to the locker room, and you saw it in Game 4 when they completely fall flat. They look dead, and the Stars leap out to a 3-1 lead. Credit to the Avs for bouncing back. It looked like that could have been a series that ended in 5, but big thanks to Cale Makar and co. for willing them back a huge comeback win. They showed some life, and all of a sudden it's a little bit more of a series where it's the same thing as we just talked about with Boston, and especially with the Avs. You know, they lost a game at home, but they've been great at home all season long. Those home fans give them some juice. If you can take game 6 at home, you force a game 7 against Dallas. But this Nichushkin thing, I mean, that's going to open up some really interesting conversations down the road for his place with the team. And it makes you feel a lot less confident in the Avs right now because he was a huge piece of what that offense had been doing.
Cale Makar has 79 points in 71 playoff games. That's a 91-point pace over an 82-game season. By the way, he plays defense.
He's Bobby Orr.
He plays
Bobby
defense,
Orr,
by the way.
I just want you to know that.
He is a defenseman.
The Avalanche still are the highest-scoring team in the postseason. That's 4.2 goals per game.
That's crazy.
Now, that obviously has something to do with their last series, but still, that it proves that they can still score. So, yes, Nichushkin's such a big loss, but this team can put pucks in the net regardless, with or without him. I still have Dallas winning this series, though.
Rupe hints, questionable for game six. He was out for game five.
Yep.
I want to make this point about Dallas because I think it's been almost hammered you. They've almost hammered you on the head, the pundits on TV, about Dallas is the deepest team in the playoffs. It kept getting said. I think it's getting said for the right reason. I think when you look at their team, they're so deep, it's crazy. I want to throw this out there. If there was a Rupe Hintz level player in the Rangers that missed a game and was questionable, that is minimum Trocheck or Lafreniere, we're probably freaking out. Yeah. And it's a huge headline. We're making a big deal of it. Not that it hasn't been a big deal, but I feel like people in Dallas are not freaking out about Rupe Hintz being out. It's obviously been a big storyline, and he's had an up and down postseason so far.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably one of the only teams that can lose a guy like Hintz, and you can still feel confident, like, no, that team can go out there and win a series and win the cup.
Shout out Ottinger for that, by the way, because
he stepped up big time.
He's in that conversation. I think it's Ottinger, Swayman, and Shesterkin in that. Because Colorado, yes, it felt like a lot of these games, Dallas is sort of hanging on at times when Colorado's really pushing, and then they punish them when they're not. Colorado has dictated the pace of play, I think, for most of the series. They entered game six with a 53% expected goal share, so that's, like, pretty good for Colorado. But, yeah, it has been Ottinger. Even though he was not great in game five, I will say, he has definitely outplayed Georgiev. Jason Robertson has been great, has not scored, but has 7 assists. So he's getting it done in a different way than he normally does. I know he's usually putting the puck in the back of the net. They're complete. This is a complete team, and they are a nightmare to play against.
I also think it's fun the way Dallas's roster is constructed, too, because there's really no in-between. You have the ultra-young and the ultra-old, ultra-not-young, because you have, on the older side, you got Ben, you got Pavelski, you got Marchment, but then you still have guys who are just so young still and are so early into their careers. You got
Wyatt Johnston.
Well, yeah, Wyatt Johnston, Rupe Hintz, Jason Robertson. So, you know, you got so many guys. You have such a wide array of experiences. And
Stankoven.
Stankoven.
Awesome.
You just have so much athleticism, but I think they have the perfect balance. They do have the most complete team of, like, young playmakers and older. I don't even want to say just old, but older, experienced, you know, core of their team that sort of holds things down. I love how complete their team is.
I know that it's the playoffs, and it you expect everyone to be good, and you just kind of stop comparing strength of schedule and stuff like that, but can you think of a tougher path for the top team in a conference than what Dallas had to do? That was
a seven-game Vegas series.
A few points away from winning the President's Trophy, and they get lined up with Vegas round one, and obviously that's a special circumstance, but
and then Colorado.
Vegas, that was, got stoned back and was mostly healthy. That was a tough seven-game series.
And went down 2-0 to start it.
Colorado round two, like, that is about as tough of a path for the top seed in a conference that I can think
of. And then have to await the winner of Edmonton Vancouver.
Which is another crazy series. Vancouver going up 3-2. I can't give enough love to this Vancouver team.
That game was crazy last night.
The go-ahead goal with 30 seconds left by JT Miller.
Yeah.
Artur Sylovs has been phenomenal. Some of the saves he's been making,
we were talking about that last night, that, like, it will truly be, and I say this like it's, I don't want to make it sound like some miracle. Like, I'm not, they're a phenomenal team, but it really would be amazing for them to get back to Demko on a third string goalie, if Demko is able to.
Demko's been
come
practicing
back
a little
he's
bit.
He's been skating. So if they can get through Edmonton, who has proven that they can freaking score, if they can get through Edmonton on a third string goalie, that is one of the most just prolific performances of this playoffs.
I'm crazy. I know it's a little different scenario with Vegas last year and the quality of their starting goaltenders. Mm-hmm. Do you give any consideration to staying with Sylovs? I mean, Demko is one of the best goaltenders in the league when healthy, and so there's incentive to go back to him, because I have to think that would be a little bit of a step up. But it's hard to find a ton of fault in the way that Silovs has been playing right now.
Absolutely, and it is crazy, though, Jack. He has 9 career games played heading into this.
They were talking about how they had to get
his... It's like Louis Domingue territory, yeah. But they're actually winning.
They were talking about it on, I think, during the Game 4 broadcast, about how they had to help him set up his living arrangements for his call-up, and how he very politely asked if somebody could get him blinds, because he didn't have blinds in his little apartment, and that he said he couldn't sleep. Like, he wasn't sleeping at all because he had no blinds. And so after he won, like, there was some game that after the Vancouver won, the coach, like, made some calls and was like, get this guy some blinds. He's winning us games.
That's funny. I like that. But, yeah, man. I really want Vancouver to win this series.
I do, too.
I think they deserve it.
I do, too.
Earlier in the series, I was kind of wondering to myself, especially when Edmonton was playing well, like, why do we look at Edmonton and Colorado so differently? Besides the obvious that Colorado's won, Edmonton hasn't. Yeah. When you look at, like, high-powered offenses, on paper, not the best defense or goaltending. And I think the big difference between Edmonton and Colorado is that Colorado has been able to get that goaltending and that defense when they've needed it. And now we're just in a weird situation with Edmonton where Skinner falls off. I feel like the defense still has lapses. And the big stat that stood out to me in Game 5, 0-for-5 on the power play. And again, that feel like Edmonton, above any other team in this playoffs, as much as the Rangers get looped in as a power play merchant, Edmonton needs to be able to score on the power play. And to their credit, they've done it at an exceptional high rate.
And I think there are two reasons why we look at Edmonton, Colorado differently, because it's fun to watch these dynamic offensive teams do their thing, and we are naturally attracted to them, I think. You know, it like Dallas, you can call them that they play more boring hockey than the Canucks or Avalanche do, sure. And I think the star power also has something to do with it. I mean, you have the biggest names on the Avalanche and the Oilers, and I think that just naturally sort of draws you to thinking that they're in a league of their own when...
It's, you don't see too many teams that play like them.
No,
that
you
move
don't.
Like them.
Right, so I think you want to put them on a pedestal, but then you look at, like, this Dallas roster and you're like... Phew.
Well, no, but that's the crazy thing about the West right now is the different stars on each team still remaining, that it feels like each team has a minimum 2 players that you just look at those 2 on paper and you're like, this is enough to make this team a favorite. But there's 4 of them, and you like have to pick between which one. Because you look over in Edmonton, it's obvious. McDavid, Draisaitl, you know, Zach Hyman, the way that they're all playing.
Nugent Hopkins is putting together a series.
Yes, exactly. Even Vander Kane had a goal the other night. But he's a bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy.
I mean, what is there to be said about Vancouver that hasn't already been said? We've been raving about Vancouver.
I'll say this. We talk about them doing this without Demko. How about them doing this with, I don't want to say getting nothing out of Elias Pettersson, but not a ton.
Not a ton.
5 points in 11 games. You have your head coach coming out and saying that essentially
he needs
to step up a little bit more. That what Vancouver's done, their ability to play as a team, sneaky depth, they've done it without, I would say their 2, to me, Pettersson and Demko are their 2 best players.
Yeah.
And they've done the majority of their winning either with one of them out or one of them severely underperforming what we consider his standards to be. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
As long as the Canucks keep, like, they did a really good job of staying above McDavid in that last game.
They had him to no shots on goal in Game 1, and they've really kept him in check.
And they also didn't turn over pucks in the neutral zone, which I thought was huge, because that's how Edmonton will kill you, is on the rush. And if you don't let McDavid do that, then, you know, what's his name? Dakota Joshua did a really nice job of handling McDavid. And I'm like, if that guy can handle who is supposed to be the best player in the league, I don't know if Edmonton can do it. I really don't.
I mean, the playoffs have been awesome. I don't know if there's anything else that we want to get into. I just saw a report from Friedman going back to Hurricane stuff.
Mm.
It does not look like the moment that the Hurricanes are planning on giving new contracts to Pesci and Natchez.
Natchez was good, though.
Yeah,
I liked him.
That's,
really good.
I really like him. They're putting all of their focus, or the majority of their focus, on prioritizing getting a contract done with Gensel, which I think is the right move. We talked about that a little bit. I'd like to circle back to that, because I think the Canes are at a crossroads where fans are upset. There's probably desire to just blow it up. But I think what you said, right, that first line was good. To me, Aho showed me a lot the way that he played towards the end of that series. I thought he was a little quiet early on, even when the stats looked good.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up having a monster series. Natchez was so visible and so significant of an impact all series long. Gensel, Ranger killer, you know his deal. Like, to me, as a Ranger fan, I don't want Gensel in the Metro. So I think that's incentive for – I think that means that the Hurricanes should probably try and re-sign him, even if that contract ends up being big. Natchez would be a big – that would be a big piece for them to lose, or for them to decide to move on from. He's a restricted free agent. Jarvis is an RFA. Drury is an RFA.
You wouldn't be excited to see Gensel go back to Pittsburgh?
I would not.
There's been like a storyline about that and how Pittsburgh wants him back, but I don't think that would happen.
So I don't know if that's anything that you have strong feelings on at the moment.
Make him an Islander.
With
that's
just in general the outlook of this Canes team, because again, I do think it has the potential to look very, very different. And I'm curious if they take a different approach, because again, I think the series, they're probably helped if Faust and Pesci are healthy. I don't think it changes the outcome of the series.
I don't think it does either. Carolina just, man, this plus 500 odds going into the playoffs
to
win the Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup favorites.
Stanley
Cup
favorites.
And maybe that's a little too much of the media playing into the analytics of they get shots on goal, they have great puck possession.
For the last 2 months of the regular season, they were the best team.
But how many times do we have to see them play well in the regular season and see that the model doesn't necessarily translate, that they're competitive in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I get that the playoffs are, in some sense, a crapshoot. The first three games could have gone either way, but you can't get past the fact that this is now the last six seasons have ended in failure for the Hurricanes when they've been one of the best regular season teams. That's the narrative.
It's beyond me. It's brutal. Because fast teams can win the Stanley Cup. That's the thing. We saw it with Colorado. Like, these teams, it's not... Yes, the narrative around playoff hockey is that it's brutal and you have to be physical. And yes, the Avalanche have enough of that. But that's not their style. And I think Carolina is modeled in a way that they can win a lot of games. And the fact that they haven't put it together in the postseason, I don't think it's the fact that they're not built for the postseason. I just think that they haven't converted.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any. Is there anything else that we want to hit on? Obviously, a big Bruins game tonight. And I think Avs Stars as well.
Avs Stars.
Pretty loaded slate. And then
Nick, what,
Saturday's Canucks Oilers.
What brand are your pants? Oh, wait, you're not wearing any. Sorry.
They are actually very nice.
I think Gap.
Gap.
I'm going to the Yankees game after this.
Sponsored by Gap.
But yeah,
Yankees hockey jersey night.
Yankees hockey jersey night. That's big.
There we go.
Rangers advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Hurricanes do not.
No, they do not.
And with that, I think we'll end the show. I'd like to extend a special thank you to Maddie Bamonte, the lovely Maddie Bamonte. For taking time this season to come on throughout the year and talk Hurricanes. We always appreciate her and her. Her wonderful, eloquent speeches.
Her speeches are always phenomenal.
She brings it. She brings it. And she's hot. and with that, Lydia, cue the outro music. Let's wrap this thing up. For Nick Palmer.
That's wild.
For Jack Warner. I'm Orlando. The Rangers advance. And Chris Kreider is a horse. We'll see you next week.